a lot of individuals that would look at this and they would say, you got to be very careful of making a general conclusion applicable to every case based upon this text. In other words, you have to look at the facts and the details of every case. But even beyond that, if it bothers your conscience, then you better let it go. You better be defrauded. You better let it go and save the name of the church than risk your name being elevated. And you say, Joe, that kind of is out there and a little subjective. And I would say, I understand your conclusion on that. But I don't want to say what's not said within the text. But I do know this much, that individuals who do the things that are mentioned in the first part of this chapter do so and put themselves in jeopardy of the list that is given to us in verses 9, 10, and then the answer to their condition that was previous in verse 11. You see, oftentimes we take 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in particular verses 9 and 10, and we take it out of context because oftentimes we want to speak on the subject of homosexuality. Or we want to speak on the subject of fornication. We want to speak on the subject of adultery or maybe thieves or drunkenness. And we say, see here, the Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I will ask you this question. Why is it in the midst of dealing with taking a brother to court, did the Holy Spirit inspire the Apostle Paul, oh, by the way, let me throw something in on the subject of homosexuality? Now, you and I both know that's not what happened. That verses 9 and 10 are in the text for a reason. And they have to flow within the context of the passage. And the greater context of the passage is this. When individuals get wrapped up in the sins that verse 9 and verse 10 are talking about, it is, again, the selfish aspect of self-gratification given over to the deeds of the flesh, even if those deeds of the flesh do not line up in accordance with the Scriptures. I don't care about the Scriptures, the person says. I don't care about the Word of God. I just want to do what I want to do. And what God says is that when the heart gets to that point, when the condition is there, the idea is they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you and I look at that and we say, okay, well, then how does that fit with a brother taking a brother to court? And the idea is this. When you have reached the point, or when I reach the point, that it's more about my name and my bank account and seeking recompense for the wrongs that I believe were done to me, instead of about me making sure the Lord's church is not defamed and that the name of the Lord is not dragged through the mud, at that point in time, I've become selfish, and I would propose to you just like the individuals of verse 9 and verse 10. And so what does he do? He reminds them in verse 11 that that's not who they are anymore. At one point in time, you lived that way, but you need to be reminded that you were washed and you were sanctified and that you were justified, that you came to become a Christian, that you were changed. You went from a lifestyle of wrong to a lifestyle of right in a spiritually speaking manner. Now, the problem's going to be that the Corinthians did not leave everything behind. They held on to grace and they knew they were saved by grace, but they didn't leave everything else behind. Thus, the second example that is brought up in dealing with the idea of your body and the idea of a prostitute. You say, Joe, that just sounds weird that Paul would just, like, he's jumping all over the page. And I would tell you, he's not jumping all over the page. What he is doing is he's bringing them back to a point. And the point is this. You Corinthians have boasted in your knowledge. But the problem is your knowledge has not been correctly seated, nor is your boasting correctly seated. Because it's all in you, and you have forgotten something. Thus, you're letting the individual stay in the church who's got his father's wife. Thus, you're taking brother to court, and instead of, you know, building up the name of the church and taking care of the reputation of the church in Corinth, you would rather the church seek to be hurt than for you to seek to be defrauded. He now says, now let me tell you something else. You all remember you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, that there was a change that was supposed to take place, but you've brought over some bad logic. Not only have you brought over some bad beliefs, but you brought over some bad logic. And your bad logic is this. You're telling me that food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. And that would be a natural concept. The food is for the stomach and the stomach is for the food. Therefore, what you're doing is, and this is what he's saying to the church of Corinth, you're trying to make a, a tremendous leap over the Grand Canyon and say, since that part of your body was for food, and food was for that part of your body, then sex should be the same way. That, in other words, if food is for the stomach and stomach is for food, well, obviously God created me a sexual being, so why can't I practice my sexuality just like I would practice my eating? In other words, it's natural. I'm not doing anything wrong if I don't, you know, if I understand what the body is for. God created this body, and therefore I'm going to use this logic. And what Paul says is, you've made a gross jump. You've miscalculated, and the reality is you've tried to separate the physical from the spiritual. And you can't do so. That's why he says in chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, your stomach is for food, and you got to eat. He did create your body as a sexual body, but that doesn't mean that it should go unrestrained and outside of what God has put forth as the structure for that aspect of your life. You'll notice this, and from verses 12 through verse 20, the word body is used in verse 13 one time, two times, verse 15 one time, verse 16 one time, verse 18 two times, verse 19 one time, verse 20 one time. When you start looking again at repetitive phrases and repetitive concepts, you and I both know there's got to be something to that. And so here's the something to that. In Corinth, they were living a lifestyle that said, you know what? What's spiritual is spiritual. What's physical is physical. And they don't necessarily have a connection between the two. Therefore, if I want to go to a temple where there would be prostitutes, and I engage in sexual immorality, or if out in the world I want to get wrapped up with somebody who's not my wife and therefore fornicate or commit adultery, you know what? That was in the physical, and it's not in the spiritual, so therefore the two aren't linked. That was their thinking. You and I would look at that today and say, that is crazy. How could anybody ever make the leap that spiritual is spiritual and physical is physical? Well, I can tell you this much. We may not say the exact same things today, but what we do at times is act that way. We act as long as I read my Bible, as long as I say my prayers, and as long as I attend worship, that what I did on Friday night or what I did on Saturday or what I did any other night of the week, that, you know what, that doesn't matter because it was physical and not spiritual, and the two aren't connected. And the reality is they are absolutely connected. Three of the do you not know questions come from this section of Scripture. And when he gets down into this, he talks about you being connected to Christ, verse 15. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. You understand tonight that according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, you were purchased. Those of you who are Christians, you were bought with a very hefty price. The price tag that was on your salvation was not something you could even pay. It was not something you could afford, and there was no credit card available so you could charge it. There's no bank loan that's going to be big enough for you to take out and therefore be able to pay back small monthly installments. There is no interest rate because the reality is you couldn't afford it. So when he says as Christians you're members of Christ, that your bodies are members of Christ, that's a significant statement because you were bought not just your soul, but you were bought your body. That's why the way that a Christian acts is so significant. That's why the way that a Christian thinks is so significant. That's why we are instructed to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your body, and your mind, not just a portion. It's because you've been purchased. You've been bought. And so he says, does it make any sense that I would take you away from Christ and that I would join you to a prostitute? Because the illustration that is given then is you would fall away, or else a portion of the body of Christ would be joined with a prostitute. That doesn't make any sense. That's why he says, may it never be. It's an emphatic statement. It's an emphatic statement that is echoed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 when it talks about, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound or increase? And he says, may it never be. It's an emphatic no. And so when you look at this idea of the Corinthians joining themselves to a prostitute, what they've done is they've forgotten the key principle. Or else they were never fully aware of the key principle, and that key principle is you belong to Jesus Christ in your body as well as your soul, and therefore when you join yourself to a prostitute, verse 16, he says the two shall become one flesh. Now, you need to be very careful here because he's not saying that it's like marriage. And you know, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you see that phrase used as well. The two shall become one flesh. And we understand that to mean a union, an intimacy that was to belong within the marriage bond. It's not that he's equating the sexual act with a prostitute with the sexual act between a husband and a wife. But what he is saying is that intimacy exists, and it shouldn't exist when a person understands they belong to the body of Christ. Therefore, he goes on to say, verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Now, that principle of you are not your own is key. And I'll tell you why it's key. It's key because when I want to establish that your life and my life is all about glorifying God, then I've got to convince you that you don't belong to you anymore. That's a key principle. If I'm telling you that your life is about glorifying God, then by default, your life is not about glorifying yourself. Does that mean that you can't take care of your needs? No. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, would say, don't merely look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. He didn't say, never look out for your interest. He said, don't merely look out for your own interest. So it's not that you don't take care of yourself in this physical body, but there is an accurate statement that you've been bought with a price, therefore you don't belong to you anymore. That concept plays into all kinds of areas, folks. We don't understand. I want to go out and do this. I want to go out and do this with my body. I mean, after all, it's my body is what culture says. We elevate the argument in the abortion discussion of it's the woman's right because it's her body. So therefore, if it's my body, then I own my body. But if it's not my body anymore, then I don't own my body. And therefore, it's not just about what I want to do with my body. It's interesting to me. I've actually spoken in many various different places before, and I've been asked the subject even of tattooing. You know, what about tattoos? I mean, and I'm not the guy who's going to turn back to the Old Testament about how they were pierced and marked for the dead and things along those lines. I don't believe that that's the discussion to be had today, because that's not why people are doing that. But I will tell you this, I do go to this text, and I go to this text because the principle that I have to understand is my body is not my body anymore. The purpose of my body is to glorify God. That's the purpose of my body. That's why the sin of joining yourself to a prostitute is so significant. It is fornication, but the hard fact is your body doesn't belong to you anymore. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, in opposition to what we said earlier over in chapter 3, when it talked about verse 16, do you not know that you are a temple? The idea of the church within that context, it's talking about the church. The indication in this particular case is it's talking about you. So in other words, when you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when you look at Romans chapter 8, there is something about the Holy Spirit and your body that is significant. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit is in you, according to this text, verse 19, whom you have from God, he says that you're not your own. I need to be careful to not go too far with this, but please understand what that means. There are going to be individuals who will take that and say, see, that means if you eat a donut, you're going to hell. Because your body's not yours, and how dare you put a donut in your body. That's not what this text is saying. If you have something against donuts, have it against donuts. But don't use the text to misquote yourself. The idea, though, is total submission between the physical and the spiritual. That's what this means. And so, therefore, when there is a joining together with a sinful concept, it is significant that the sin that is committed is against the body. And every other sin, according to verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, But the immoral man sins against his own body. And what's the significance of that? Because your body doesn't belong to you anymore. Because when you became a Christian, your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit. So what difference does that make? It makes all the difference when you look down at verse 20, when he says, "For you've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body. The Apostle Paul would also say it this way in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. He said, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." In other words, it's this. Yes, God made you with the need to eat. He made you a sexual being. But when you realize that you don't belong to you, and you come to conclude that your body is for His glorification. I glorify Him in what I do with my body. I glorify Him with how I use my energies. I glorify Him in that I do not separate the physical from the spiritual. And therefore, I understand that as I claim to walk with God and as I've been forgiven of my sins, that my lifestyle will change to fall in line with what He desires. The tough part of this lesson in chapter 6 is in dealing with the message. And I'm glad that young people are here tonight and more young people need to hear this message. It really does matter what you do with the person you're dating. It really does matter, married couples, what you do with the people that you might, you know, be flirting with outside of your spouse, if that be who, where you are. It really does matter. And it matters for multiple reasons, but in this text it matters because there is a sin against the body. And the reason that's important because your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God. So therefore, glorify God in every aspect of your dwelling here on this earth. I know it's a principle that you would look at and you say, "Well, Joe, that's not really a lesson on how to become a Christian." And I may have more questions to ask than answers that were given. And I understand that because the sermon is only a place to get to a point, and the point is, make sure you're glorifying God. That's the point. So it isn't a lesson to teach you how to become a Christian, but it is a lesson to teach you what it means to be a Christian. And tonight, if you recognize that you've not been making the connection between the spiritual and the physical, I want to encourage you to reconsider that, to look deeper into this text. I want to encourage you to understand that you don't belong to you anymore. And so therefore, there is something about the sin that is against the body because of the connection to the Holy Spirit. Tonight, if that change needs to be made, maybe it can be made privately. But maybe tonight there's a public change that needs to be made, and one that has caused defamation on the name of the church, one that has defrauded the church, and maybe that does need to be addressed and repented of. I don't know everybody's situation tonight, but I know this much, the teaching is clear. When you consider those who are not Christians tonight, I want to ask you, as you think about the union that Christians enjoy with Jesus Christ, wouldn't you love to have that union? Wouldn't you love to have that special standing before God as one of His covenant people? If you've never obeyed the gospel tonight, I encourage you to do so, because it's only through your repentance of your sin and confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior and the reality of being baptized for the remission of your sins that you can enter into a covenant relationship. And so tonight I urge you to do that. If you've been putting it off, or maybe you've been putting off needing to make a change in your life, don't put it off any further. Please don't, because you're never guaranteed another tomorrow. And maybe this lesson tonight, you say, "Well, that's not really applicable to me, and it's kind of neat, Joe, those two subjects were covered." But maybe the subject that is applicable to you is this: have I been about glorifying God? And if the answer is no, then a change needs to be made. And if we can help you in that area at all, we invite you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.